Hi, we're interviewing Donnie Peronto today, and we're CJMQ, so welcome, Donnie.
Well, thank you. Thanks for having me.
Oh, thank you. I was just reading through your biography. Very, very impressive, all the awards. You've certainly had quite the year there.
Things have been going really, really good for me. I'm very fortunate.
That's great. Okay, let's start out by, how did you get interested in music?
You know, somebody asked me that a while back, and I've always been interested in music. I can remember when I was a little kid, back to 4 or 5 years old,
mm-hmm.
when my mom and dad would take us kids to weddings. And I remember whenever there was a live band, I would stand in front of the band all by myself and just watch, and I would dance all by myself.
Okay.
I was just fascinated with music ever since I was a little kid.
Oh, that's great. Did you ever think that it would come to something like this?
No.
Okay.
Never in my wildest dreams did I think I'd be doing like where I am today with my career. But I always knew I'd have some part to do with music.
Mm-hmm.
I always felt music was inside me somehow.
That's great. Well, you've certainly worked hard at it and certainly getting the benefits of it. Now, you're also, you play a lot of instruments too? You're self-taught in all of them?
Yes, I'm self-taught in all of them. I owe a lot of credit to a couple of fiddle players,
mm-hmm.
well, one fiddle player in particular, George Piston. And what I mean by when you're self-taught is I don't know how to read music.
Mm-hmm.
I don't read music, so I never sat down and officially took lessons from anybody as far as like learning how to read music and going every week. What George Piston was the fiddle player here from my hometown in Prince Albert. That he was one of the guys that took me aside and showed me a couple of fiddle tunes in the very beginning when I first started. And so that's pretty much where it went from there. But I started off as a fiddle player,
mm-hmm.
and then ended up picking up mandolin when I started doing it professionally when I was 19.
Okay.
And we toured across Canada. And then I picked up acoustic guitar from there and leading up to all the other instruments that I play.
Okay, and you also play the double neck Mando Caster electric
yes.
guitar?
Yes.
Okay. What kind of an instrument is that?
Well, that's something that there was an idea that came, it wasn't just to me, it was an idea passed on to me from
mm-hmm.
George Myron out of Edmonton, Alberta.
Okay.
And he told me that there was an idea that you could do, and I think Gibson manufactured this idea too.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a six-string electric guitar on the bottom, and it's a double-neck guitar, and then on top you have a mandolin. And what that mandolin sounds like it sounds like electric guitar.
Mm-hmm.
So you can play it and make it sound like an electric guitar, but you're playing mandolin style playing.
Okay.
On top of that, so that's pretty much the way that is.
Okay, interesting. I imagine it has quite a unique sound to it.
It does, yeah.
Okay, great. Now, you were born and raised in Prince Albert, Saskatchewan, and you lived in Nashville for a while, I guess, and then returned to Saskatchewan.
Yes.
Okay, and you toured with Neil McCoy?
I sure did. I met Neil McCoy back in 1991, and he was coming through Edmonton, Alberta, and I just auditioned for him kind of on the spot, and he said he couldn't afford a fiddle player, but when the time come, maybe he'd be interested in taking me. So I said, well, would you listen to me play?
Mm-hmm.
And he did. So to make a long story short, the band members went back and asked Neil, how much money do you need extra to hire this guy? And Neil said, we can't afford him. And he said, how much money do you need? So all the band members chipped in $25 a week off of their pay, take
mm-hmm.
a pay cut. You give $100 towards Neil, and Neil kicked in the rest, and they hired me.
That's amazing.
That's how yeah. I got my job with Neil.
Amazing.
So I owe a lot to those guys, and they were a great, great bunch of guys, and I had a wonderful career with him for 12 years, and ended up, I was just on the road after 12 years of being with him, and I just decided that, no, I need to do something else.
Okay, so you started your solo career then in what year was that?
2003.
Okay, that's what I thought. Great,
mm-hmm.
good. Okay, so you've shared the stage with a lot of amazing icons in the country business. Charlie Pride, George Jones, Reba McEntire, Garth Brooks, my goodness, Tim McGraw, Faith
mm-hmm.
Hill, just
mm-hmm.
to name a few. So how was that?
It was incredible. It was really neat to meet a lot of the icons, is what I would call them.
Mm-hmm.
Like in the beginning, you know, and even past Tim McGraw. Tim McGraw and Faith Hill and them, they were just starting the same time that we were.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't get their big breaks until the early 90s.
Okay.
So I'm going way back to some of the living legends like Merle Haggard, Buck Owens, Charlie Pride, George Jones. When you meet guys like that personally and you get to see the way they act around people, and all of a sudden you realize and you're going, man, they're living icons, they're legends, but the way they act around people, they're no different than me and you.
Mm-hmm.
And I take that when I take pride in that, because that's the way I act around everybody. I don't feel that I'm better than anybody, and that's one thing that I owe to Neil McCoy as well, because he drilled that into our heads. He said, there's a switch that you hit before you walk on stage.
Mm-hmm.
Hit that switch when you walk on the stage, but mm-hmm. don't forget to shut off the light when you leave.
Okay, that's great. That's wonderful advice. Okay. Now, all the awards you've won, let's see, 2008's been quite the year for you. 2007, too, I guess. 2008 Saskatchewan Country Music Awards, 9 nominations, 7 awards received.
Yeah,
how does that feel?
That was a very incredible evening. And, you know, and coming off of a fresh Juno nomination for Best Aboriginal Recording, I was nominated for a Juno.
Mm-hmm.
And the Saskatchewan Country Music Awards was the following weekend, so to win 7 awards there out of the 9 was just... It's absolutely incredible. It's a really good feeling. And what it means to me is I'm on the right path. I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing. And people, what awards mean to me and nominations is just you're being recognized by your peers
mm-hmm.
for what you do. And that's all that comes down to.
Okay, you must have quite the case full of awards there. Okay, you're Saskatchewan's highest nominating artist, receiving 9 SCMA nominations and the first ever Juno nomination for Aboriginal Recording of the Year. First ever Juno nomination?
Yes, my very first.
Okay, great.
And you know, and that's the thing, like at the Juno Awards in Calgary, I never realized and it never hit me how big this award nomination is until
mm-hmm.
I got there.
Mm-hmm.
And I realized who's nominated in, like, basically nominated for Junos.
Mm-hmm.
You name them, they were nominated, like some of the big, big names.
Mm-hmm.
And not even in just country music industry, but even in the Aboriginal industry, in the pop industry, rock industry, like when Avril Lavigne is up there. And that's what didn't make me feel bad when I didn't win, because it wasn't about winning for me. It's just the nomination was such an honor.
It is.
You know,
it is,
but
definitely.
To be nominated in a category like that when Celine Dion is nominated for a Juno, Michael Bublé is nominated for a Juno, Avril Lavigne, you know. So when you're talking that kind of nomination, it's all of music.
Okay.
So Canada recognized my talent.
Mm-hmm, exactly.
That's what was really cool.
It is so cool. Aboriginal Artist of the Year, 5 consecutive years, my goodness. Now, your single, Postmarked Heaven, that's based on... Well, it's based on your father,
father? It's a story about my dad, because
mm-hmm.
I did write a letter to my father back in 1991. My dad died in September of 1990.
Okay.
And I started playing with Neil McCoy in March of 1991.
Mm-hmm.
And about June of 1991 was our first time ever getting a chance to go play on the Grand Ole Opry.
Okay.
And I wrote my dad a letter, and I just let him know what we were about to do, and that I missed him, and all my dreams were coming true, and I wish you could be here to witness them. And
mm-hmm.
I told him how my mom was doing and everything. When I was done the letter, I took it to Neil McCoy, and I told him who I wrote it for, and he says, that's deep. And I said, yeah, but I says, what if a little boy writes a letter to his dad
mm-hmm.
the same way, and you don't realize the dad passed away until it gets to the chorus?
Mm-hmm.
So there's a song there.
Mm-hmm.
So I carried that song idea for 15 years until I got together with Gil Grand out of Calgary. And a fantastic songwriter. So
okay.
I got together with him, and I told him the idea, and within 2 hours, we were done the song.
That's amazing. That's an amazing song, and
we still
enjoy it on our playlist here. It's a real tearjerker, and certainly a song that everybody can relate to, too.
Well, thank you so much.
Great.
I appreciate all your support
Good.
On that.
And right now, you have a great single out. It's called Belly Up, a little bit more fun single, and you also have a video on YouTube with it, too.
Yes, I do. There is a video if anybody wants to go check it out. Just look up Donnie Peronto, and then in brackets put Belly Up Video,
mm-hmm.
and you can see that. But the song was written about a little bar in my hometown.
Okay.
We did the grand opening 3 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I told my wife when I got home, I'm going to write a song for the bar, and I'll sing it tonight.
Mm-hmm.
So I wrote it. Took me about 45 minutes. One of those songs just came to me, and I thought I put it away after that, and then never thought nothing else of it. But every time we'd play Belly Up, I'd do the song.
Mm-hmm.
So year number 2, I did the song again, and
mm-hmm.
people started responding to it. So I brought that song to the co-producer of my project, Steve Fox, and I sang it to him, and he said, that's a cool tune. He said, we should put that on the album. So I thought, maybe I'd just make an album cut. I never believed it would be a single until now.
Yeah,
now that it's out there. So
yeah, it's great.
It's a really
fun.
Neat little tune.
Good. Now you have 3 albums out, is that correct?
I do have 3,
okay.
Yeah. My very first one I recorded was a fiddle album
mm-hmm.
that I did. I always wanted to do an instrumental fiddle album, and I'm about to do another one as well. And then my second one I did was when I first started with my band, and I recorded that in 2003, started working on that with my band,
mm-hmm.
and that was called The Great Unknown album.
Okay.
And then this is my third one that I have out, and it's What It Takes, and I'm getting ready to cut another one that'll be ready in the beginning of 2009.
Wow, that sounds exciting.
Yes.
Okay, great. And you're doing a lot of touring, well, in the last year and this summer too, I see.
Yeah, there's very much so. Like lots of touring and everything, and everything's absolutely going fantastic. I'm real excited about all of it. We had the honor of playing for the Western Canadian Premiers Conference, where there were seven premiers.
Mm-hmm.
The United States Ambassador of Canada was also there, and the Governor of Wyoming. And this all took place in my hometown, so that was a really, really neat experience for me to get a chance to perform in my hometown in front of people like that.
Oh, that must have been. That's fantastic.
That was wonderful. There were seven premiers there.
Good. Okay. Now, if someone wants to find out some more information, anything like that about you, you have a website?
Yeah, you betcha. You can just go to Donnie Paranto, D-O-N-N-Y, Paranto, P-A-R-E-N-T-E-A-U, .net.
Okay, great. Anything else you wanted to mention about your music or your touring this summer or your awards, Donnie?
I think, you know, the main thing is, I would not be able to do this without the love and support of my wife, Patricia, my family, and also with the help of Irene Carroll. She's my publicist out of Toronto that does a fantastic job for me. And that's basically all of our team. I mean, I do not have a record deal. We have no agent, mm-hmm. like none of that stuff that we have. The only thing that I have on my team is myself, my wife, and Irene Carroll. Those are the only ones on my team, so I'm very honored to get as far as we have in the music industry without all that extra help.
Oh, you've certainly done an amazing job for the team. That's great.
And I really appreciate this. And thanks so much for all of your support as well.
Oh, thank you. Okay, thanks so much, Donnie, and all the best to you.
All right, I appreciate that.
Okay, have a great day. Bye.
Bye-bye now.
I'm writing this letter to let you know that I'm all right, in case you were wondering. I no longer sleep with the light on. So much has changed since you've been gone. Mama's now working down at the Wilson grocery store. Becky's through learning.
She learned to drive your old Ford.
Now she drives your old Ford too. Pick me up from school. The postmark said heaven to Daddy with love. Placed it up on the counter and said, "Mister, how much?" His tears started to fill that old man's eyes. He said, "Letters to heaven don't cost a dime." I said thank you, turned around and waved goodbye. Can I come back tomorrow? Do you think that would be all right? And he said, son, anytime. Postmark said heaven to Daddy with love. He placed it up on the counter and said, "Mister, how much?" His tears started to fill that old man's eyes. He said,
That was Canadian artist Donnie Perrondo, and the song was called Postmarked Heaven.